Welcome to The Five, a podcast built to inform nonprofits about critical functions that will improve their organization. I'm your host, Eric Morcheski, CEO and co-founder of Nimble Strategies. We are bringing The Five to you as a part of our company's five-year anniversary celebration with thought leaders from across the country. Welcome to The Five.
I'm here today with Jackie Dace, the Executive Director of St. Louis Artworks. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jackie. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and who you are and how you came into such an interesting role?
Sure. And actually, my background is in the museum world. So I spent about 30 years in the museum world, starting at the Missouri Historical Society. I was there for 16 years and started off as the receptionist security officer. And my last position with the Missouri Historical Society was curator of African American collections. So it was kind of a interesting trajectory that I took in the museum world. And I left St. Louis and went to Chicago, worked for the DeSalvo Museum of African American History as a collections manager. And then I moved on to Mississippi with the building of the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum. And that was one of those places that really gave me a good foundation and taught me a lot, not only in terms of history, but also in terms of making actual connections and building community, because that had to be done as we were starting with that institution. But it was a very stressful experience. You know, I think it was particularly stressful because you get a close association with individuals that went through some severe trauma. And they're still dealing with that trauma. And because you have that close association with them, you kind of personalize it yourself. And so it was over and over and over again. And at some point I said, it was changing me. I have to do something for myself. And the opportunity came that, you know, we were opening the National Blues Museum here in St. Louis. And I came back as one of the initial team members that opened that museum, and then left St. Louis and went to the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center in Cincinnati as the deputy director. And so that was a great experience. Came back to St. Louis just in 2020, January, at a prime time, just before the pandemic hit, which was, you know, perfect timing. And I was actually only supposed to be here for 3 months because there was another museum that was being built that I was headed to be the director of. And because of the pandemic, that project got squashed. But this position became available, the executive director with St. Louis Artworks. St. Louis is my home, and I kind of wanted to be home anyway. And the opportunity to work with youth and to also to be able to collectively bring together the skills and everything that I learned to a new position and a new institution was interesting to me and something that I definitely wanted to do. So I started with St. Louis Artworks in March of 2021, and it's been a great experience.
Yeah, and you know, we got to work a little bit together when you were at the Blues Museum and I was at the Arch on Blues at the Arch, and you guys have brought so much great programming to this city. And I think maybe programming becomes an integral part of what you're doing today for the youth and everything with St. Louis Artworks. Can you explain a little bit about St. Louis Artworks and all that they provide for the community?
Yes, St. Louis Artworks, we are a youth arts education program and essential job training. We expose youth to career opportunities through paid apprenticeships. And we work with young people age 14 to 19. We are year-round, spring, summer, and fall. In the spring and the fall, the youth come in from 4 o'clock till 6:30, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and on Saturdays, 10 till 3. And in the summer, it's from 10 o'clock till 3 o'clock, Monday through Friday. We also offer life skill training. And so we bring in speakers and workshops on financial literacy, health and wellness. You know, we also have an art therapist on staff that works one-on-one with the young people, but we work with different groups, different organizations throughout the city. I always tell people that You've probably seen artworks work throughout the city, throughout the region, actually, and didn't realize that it was created by young people age 14 to 19. Because we develop murals, we get commission projects, we have sculptures, we've done documentary videos. Right now, we're doing a creative writing course. We're partnering with an organization called Word STL, and we are putting together a podcast, sort of like what you're doing right here. But it comes from the youth's voice, you know? So we allow the young people to be able to express themselves and also to show how they are a part of the community. And people often ask me, how is that in line with some of the work that you've done before? And because everything I did in the museum world, I also, you know, most of the work that I did was on the public history front. So I always work with young people. I always work with public organizations and groups of people. So this is sort of like a continuation, if you will. And one of the other interesting things is that we're able to incorporate some of what I've done with the museum into what we're doing here at St. Louis Artworks. You know, we create some exhibits. So the young people are able to see how they can make a living from the work that they're doing, from art, you know, because of course art is often looked upon as a luxury. But I tell people all the time, imagine what life would be like if art was not in your world. Everything from architecture, everything from logos for your organizations. We're actually putting together a logo right now for an organization. But that is all part of the design process. But and the kids learn how to work with clients directly. So that's also a skill set that other youth may or may not have. And it's all about providing them the access and the opportunity because we're working with young people that that may not have that access and opportunity in their classroom, in their communities. And so we're giving them sort of a step up. And again, they are paid to be part of this program. So it's a unique process in not then they don't have to pay, but they actually receive a paycheck.
It's a great program. I mean, I know I've seen a lot of the fairs that you guys have put on and the exhibits that you guys have put on, and I see some of the artwork even in your background here. And I mean, they do incredible work, much more talented than I will ever be in this. I've frequently been told, like, I can't even draw a stick figure. So greatly appreciated. And you've worked at so many great organizations in the museum field and now outside of it. But one kind of common theme that I think means something personally to you is stable income and budgeting and how that applies to all of these organizations, because it doesn't matter whether you're at a museum, whether you're at St. Louis Artworks, or wherever you're at, that funding source and making sure that your budgeting is in line allows you to, sleep at night if it's there, and maybe not as much if it's not, right? And so why does it mean something to you? Why is there an importance to you of stable income and budgeting?
It is interesting. You said sleep at night because there are many nights you don't get a chance to sleep because you can't cut that brain off because you're trying to think of ways in which you can make sure that everything is covered. Because I think that a lot of people, when we think of the programs, you don't think of the overhead cost that is also part of planning for everything that you're doing. In order for us to be able to develop and to implement our programs and to provide that access and opportunity to the youth that we serve, I do have to mention we work with 180 to 200 young people annually. And so, you know, in order for us to be able to do that, we need to be able to keep the lights on. We need to be able to keep the heat going. We need to be able to, you know, keep the doors open. And so you have to make sure that if I receive a grant to develop this particular project or to develop this particular commission product, that part of that also includes some of the general operating support that is necessary in order for these our organizations to be able to function. But it also, it helps us to be able to plan ahead, because when we're thinking about what type of programs I'm going to have right now, I have to think about what type of programs I'm going to have for the summertime, right? Because in order for me to know what programs I'm going to have for the summertime, that tells me how many young people I'm able to hire in the summer. It also tells me how many teaching artists I'm able to hire in the summer, as well as the site supervisors included. I come from the museum world, like I said, and in many ways we plan 1, 2, 3 years down the line. And in my mind, with the way in which I think, that's what I want. I would love to be able to plan 2, 3 years down the line so I know where we're going and what we're going to do. Each year since I've been here, we've created a focal point or a focus for the students to create their framework of their artwork through, right? So this year, because of course my background with not only African American history, but the civil rights movement, oftentimes those focal points come through and under the guidelines of civil rights. This year is the 60th anniversary of Freedom Summer. And because this is also an election year, I thought it would be great if the kids could have that as their focal point, as they're thinking about what does democracy mean? How do they find their own voice? What does it mean to, for them to be able to vote? And where do they belong in this entire process? So when they're thinking about their artwork, how do they create that? So, there are many things that I would love to be able to make sure that in the fall we're creating, this documentary. In the summer, we're doing a standalone exhibition. We also may create, posters that is specific to one of a kind artwork that come from young people. But you gotta have that funding in order to be able to make sure that that is a part of what we are able to do. And so we're looking ahead. I never lose enough ideas. Ideas are, they're always here. And also working with the staff that I do have, we can come up with some great projects, and also talking to the young people, what do they want to do? Where do they want to go with this? We always have that looking forward, as well as looking at community. What are the needs of the community? What would they like for us to be able to take a part in? But because, and I'm gonna go back into the sort of like the second point of what we were going to talk about in terms of the income and fluctuations, because our income fluctuates and we are heavily dependent upon grants, so the grant cycle is different. I may not know that I'm approved for a grant until June and the program starts in June. So how do we make that work? Amazingly, St. Louis Artworks has been around for 29 years. We will celebrate our 30th anniversary in 2025. We've been able to make it work, and we will continue to be able to make it work. But getting back to what you said at the big intro of this, Eric, to be able to sleep a little bit better, to be able to rest, and also to know what's going to happen moving forward. I can't even imagine what it would feel like to be able to know that, the next year, the next 2 years are already covered in terms of the programs and projects, and also in terms of the number of students that we are going to be able to impact. Because when the income is fluctuating, that means instead of hiring 60 students in the fall and the spring, I may only be able to hire 40. So that's 20 students that does not get an opportunity to be part of the program. As I said, we're going to be able to stay, we're able to stay in operation, but it comes at the peril of the young people that I think benefit from being part of this program.
Yeah, I think being able to plan ahead is such a difficult thing for small organizations, especially where Most small organizations, donors, or sometimes even board members don't really understand that you're probably operating with maybe the next 30 to 60, maybe 90 days of cash. And you're trying to plan out the rest of your year, right? And how do you do that? How do you put together a legitimate budget if you don't know where February's funding is coming from, that you can't see beyond that because you've only got January's in place? It makes for sleepless nights, or in my case, maybe a few less hairs. Planning ahead is such a difficult process in there. And so, I don't know, are there any things that you do? I mean, other than beg, borrow, and steal, is there anything that you found that helps you kind of as you think through that planning ahead? I mean, do you just go to like the smallest budgeting possible, or do you shoot for the sky, and if you miss by a little bit, you still ended up somewhere a lot better? Or what's your own process in that planning ahead when you think about that?
Yeah, one of the things that we do, and I'm always talking to organizations and individuals to try to, supplement our income with commission projects because that helps a lot. But also being able to have some additional earned income. We rent out the space in which that we're in. And so we're able to have some, cover some of the general operating costs through our earned income. I rent out a small section of our space to a studio space for an artist, because that also helps. So, as I tell everybody, every little bit does help. And then we have our art sales at the end of each one of our sessions. And that's another portion of the earned income. And so we kind of can plan that we know that those take place. The other thing is when I would try to work with not only myself, but also with the board and try to think of ways in which we can, infuse some funding into the organization itself. This year, a couple of years ago as well, I had this year I will have my birthday party on site at St. Louis Artworks as a fundraiser. And the benefit to that is that oftentimes I've been able to raise enough to at least cover a discipline. That is helpful that we have at least one of those disciplines that I know I don't have to worry about. But yeah, so we you try to do things in terms of how are we going to diversify those funding sources that are coming in, whether or not it is through working with other organizations, because we have partner organizations that we can work with that may cover the cost of the teaching artists. Like I mentioned, we're working this season with Word STL. So we're covering the cost of the apprentices and the supplies, and of course, it's in our buildings, so all the overhead, but they're covering the cost of the teaching artists. We've done that with St. Louis Art Museum as well, where they cover the cost of the teaching artists. So we try to look for creative ways in which we can continue to offer the programs, but we're offering it through whether it's partnerships or collaborations or other connections that we're working with. But those are not guaranteed, but I'm a true believer. I truly am. I'm a true believer. I'm a true believer that when you're doing what you believe is right and what you believe is right for not only the youth, but for the community and for the overall good of the world in which you're serving, that it's going to come to you. Things are going to work out. Again, it's not Pollyanna, and I don't think that it doesn't involve any actual work, but you have to believe in what you're doing. I'm a passionate believer in the mission of St. Louis Artworks. I'm a passionate believer in the youth that we serve because they are dedicated, as well as the teaching artists that come back here and give their skills and give their time and effort. If they're able to do that, then I have to dig in every area that I can to try to find sources. I mean, I've gone to friends and connections have to thank Nimble and thank you all for having supported, one of our programs, and that works out. And again, every little bit helps. Everything helps because that's a donation that we don't have to look for because it's already covered. So, I use every resource that I have, as you know.
And I mean, that's ultimately, it's not always the easiest way to go about things, but you got to do what you got to do, right? And I
Yeah,
think
I
it.
like one of my friends referred to himself as a professional beggar. And so that's what I've decided to, that's what I call myself, a professional beggar, because I will definitely, as long as I believe in it, as long as I feel as if I believe in it and it's worthwhile, that's what I'm going to do. And we know we're going to do at a minimum three programs in terms of our disciplines each session. And we're going to make sure that those are covered.
But to your point earlier, though, you have grants that maybe are coming in a week before, 2 weeks before, and you don't know if that's going to be for 40 kids or 60 kids, because you don't know if that grant will come through. And so that's where I think what you're talking about is diversifying your funding sources through space rentals or other opportunities becomes critical as you look at how you can serve your fulfill your mission. What do you kind of look at then after you look at diversifying your funding sources? What do you look at next then to kind of make sure that you're moving the ball forward?
Yeah, and we do have some funding sources that have been part of the routine, our routine budget. So working with organizations that help to fund our mental health programs, they've been substantial. And it's also, I think that when we think about especially our smaller nonprofits like we are, when people think about the standard business framework, and if you look at our budget on a year-to-year end basis, if you look at us in June and you see our bottom line may not be where you think it should be, that is because our expenditure is so much higher, because the summer program is much more intensive than the spring and the fall. And so we're pulling out more of our expenditure in the summer than we are in October, or that we would be in February. So our programs kind of also fluctuate with the income, so we try to make sure that all of that is covered. But we also take a look at what other type of programs that we can do to expand our reach, because we're working with organizations throughout the community to try to make sure, I don't have a marketing department, So it's funny. I think of people again when we talk about that standard business framework, and people say, well, let me put you in contact, or put me in contact with your communications person. And then, I'm like, okay, either you want to talk to Jacqueline or Jackie, because that's, Jacqueline is the executive director and Jackie is the communications person. So we try to get the word out. And I think that has been helpful as well. That's been helpful to get more people to understand who we are and what we're doing. That's, again, one of the reasons I appreciate you offering me this opportunity to talk about St. Louis Artworks, and talk about not only St. Louis Artworks, but talk about the situations that our small nonprofits face. Because I think sometimes, especially in the business community, as well as the philanthropic community, as well as the larger nonprofits, with the smaller nonprofits, we're talking past each other. People are telling us exactly what it is. What is that business design that you need to do? And what things that people learn in school that should apply to every organization. And we're saying, what are the priorities that we have to do to make sure that we are going to be around for the next 10 years? Because that's where my mind is. I want to see the youth that are in the program right now bringing some of their, nieces and nephews back to the program 10 years later, or for them to be able to come back and be teaching artists because
See,
we've done.
your head went somewhere different than mine. I heard you say that. I was like, to be writing you checks as donors because they were so successful after they left your program.
But you know, and that they will do and that they can do, but it's also what are you giving back to the community? I always think about what are they giving back to the community? And when we think about the, you know, what they learn here and whether or not they're creating a business, what type of impact are they having on the community that they're serving? So if they come back here and serve as a teaching artist, then they're creating more young people that can create a much more stabilized community that we're serving, right? And so that in itself, if we can lift up this entire community, I can lift up this entire organization, right? And so that's what we're always looking for, is ways in which we can continue to build on that. But I think that, you know, one of the things I would love to be able to do is just to seriously have a in-depth conversation with some of the donors, some of the business leaders, to talk about the ways in which we, as the small nonprofits, we're still here. We're doing it. Been around for 29 years. I repeat that over and over again. Not only been around 29 years, but have reached at least 3,900 young people within the St. Louis community. So, you know, you may want that data analysis report. That's all fine and good, but we are really doing some detailed impact on the communities that we're serving. So how can we, you know, begin to understand what we're doing is doing exactly what it is that you say you want to fund? You know, we would love for you to be able to fund us at a higher level, be able to help us to know that this next group of young people that is going to come down the pike will be able to come through this program.
Yeah, that this year you helped us fund 20 kids to go through our program, and next year it's 50.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think that's a really fundamental piece of development and giving is how do you obviously bring in new donors, but also get those donors who have already said, I choose to give to you, how do we get them to take that next step forward in that giving process? And can be a difficult process because you don't want to appear ungrateful for what they are giving to you. You don't want to lose what they have given. But at the same time, sometimes understanding that capacity that someone has and unlocking that capacity is maybe the better way to say it, towards your organization. And so, kind of in that same vein, though, what happens? You talked about you came into St. Louis Artworks in 2021. You're right out of the pandemic. Depending on how you look at it, maybe you were still in the pandemic. But there's been so many changes since you came into this role. And how have you had to adapt to all of those changes when it came to incomes and budgets?
We were actually in the pandemic when I walked through the doors because we were still masking up and trying to distance, and we were working from a virtual environment with the programs that we were developing with the young people. And I have to say, virtual artwork is not always the best process. And so we have had to adapt that to that change during the pandemic, but then also slowly bringing our youth back, you know, that next year was also a different experience. And taking a look at some of the organizations, because oftentimes, not only in terms of something as significant as the pandemic, but, you know, donors and businesses, they change their priorities of what it is that they're willing to fund and what it is that, you know, they're looking toward. And so, you know, when you have an organization that, when I came in, there was an organization that was in St. Louis that routinely funded the arts. And then they decided that, you know, this was not one of their priority areas. And so that $40,000 just automatically dropped off of our budget, our income stream. So what do you have to do? You got to find another organization that may be willing to make up that difference, or more often than not, you find two or three other organizations that can make up that difference. So what happens with that? If I have one that has been a routine funder, but then I have to find two or three to make up that difference. Not only does that require more time and effort because we have a different reporting cycle and a different process of funding, and so that's a different time commitment as well. And that's what I think that, when again, one of those things that keep you up at night, how are you going to make sure that you are doing the accurate reporting to all of these multiple funding organizations that you have to keep up with in order to make sure that you are aligned and that you are continuing to grow the institution. We've been fortunate that we've been able to supplement that through, I mean, we do intense grant research. I'm always looking whether it's local, national, for grants that fund the arts because, there's been some changes with, especially when people go for STEM projects. And so I'm looking for STEAM. Let's add art into that. But the question is, how long is the priority going to be STEM until it changes to something else, right? But because we are a our mission has so many different components, I always like to think of it as art and more. Because we also offer financial literacy, we offer life skills, we offer job training. It's all through the arts. So, it's art and more. We are able to gather different resources to be able to help with our funding of the program. It's not easy. It's an all day, every day, whenever you're thinking of ways in which you can try to find some income into the organization. It's a continuation, but it is doable. All I wish is that it was,
A
that
little bit easier.
we would be able to breathe a little
Yeah.
bit more,
So normally when we kind of are wrapping these up, I ask, where's this going? What does the future look like? But I think you touched on something right there that I want to ask you instead. When you have those days that are, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this tomorrow? Like what, how do you relieve that stress in yourself? Or how do you find that new burst of energy to move those things forward? I mean, obviously, you've talked a lot about you have to be passionate about what you're doing, but on a personal level, I mean, there are times where every executive director, CEO, doesn't matter what your title is, when you're leading an organization, where you have to find it in yourself to kind of reinvigorate your energy for something. What do you do personally? Like, how do you find that?
I've always believed in a work-life balance because I am Jacqueline Dace, the executive director with St. Louis Art Works. I'm the executive director with St. Louis Art Works is not who I am, it's what I do, right? And so I'm able to, one of the reasons why I wanted to come back to St. Louis is because I'm from St. Louis. I'm the sixth of six children. So my siblings are here, my nieces and nephews, great nieces and nephews are here. And one of the easiest way for me to be able to separate myself and realize, I'm just Aunt Jackie as opposed to whoever I think I might be on a day-to-day basis is to look into the eyes of those babies, and listen to them and talk to them and let them, they don't care what I do, where I've been and anything like that. They just want to be with Aunt Jackie. And also to hang with my friends. To go out to dinner with some, friends that I've had for years. And as well as I have a 16-year-old Shih Tzu that's her name is Kenya Janae. I have to mention her name. And I always say Kenya is the great moderator in my life, because no matter what I'm going through, I can go home and look into those big black eyes and watch that tail shaking and know that regardless of the fact that, all during the week and during the day, I'm working for St. Louis Artworks, but when I get home, I'm working for Kenya, So it's a great work-life balance. I'm not what I do. I am who I am, and I'm capable to be able to do what I do because of where I came from.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today. And I should share that today is my dog Smitty's 13th birthday. So he's not quite 16 like yours, but he's getting up there. So I was worried he was snoring in the background. And so hopefully it didn't get picked up by the microphone. But thank you so much, Jackie, for doing this. And thank you for all the great work St. Louis Artworks and yourself are doing here in this community. I think it is a great organization. Like I said, I can look at all the artwork on your back wall and just be amazed that someone who was 14 to 19 did that work. Because again, that is way beyond my capacity to no end. But it's great that you're making such an impact on 3,900 kids over the last 29 years. So thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Five. Subscribe to our channel and make sure you catch every episode of The Five and reach out to Nimble Strategies today for help with your nonprofit.